It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood. An increasing number of young, environmentally minded entrepreneurs are trying to develop businesses based on green energy technology like wind, solar, and conservation. Biodiesel is considered one of the green energy fuels because it's made from sustainable resources, mainly plant oils, and produces little pollution. Biodiesel can be poured right into the tank of any diesel truck, bus, or car, and mixed in any proportion with diesel made from fossil fuel. It can even go right into your home heating oil tank. Claire Schoen reports on one young man who's trying to jumpstart a biodiesel venture.
We're Homeland Fuels. We're pro-business, pro-American, and pro-environment.
Chris Karstens is neither a starry-eyed environmentalist nor a hard-edged businessman, but an interesting mix of the two.
I'm a Berkeley alumni, mechanical engineer, and started a business with a friend doing a new technology for biodiesel production.
Chris sees biodiesel as a viable alternative to gas-powered vehicles, which are a major source of greenhouse emissions. But there's another angle to the green energy movement that is attracting such burgeoning businessmen.
Well, I'm going to coin a new phrase here for you. Green robber baron. If this does what we expect it to do, I become wealthy and I can clean up the world at the same time.
Doing good's good, but making money is also nice.
The Haas School of Business at University of California, Berkeley has a business plan competition, which is becoming a magnet for green entrepreneurs looking for recognition for their ideas. This year, four green energy groups made it into the semifinal rounds of the Haas B-Plan competition. Helios, Bergskoff, Diamond Energy, and Homeland Fuels, headed up by Chris Karstens.
Christopher, congratulations on making the semifinal rounds.
Okay.
So go out there and mingle.
This evening is the mentor mixer, so to speak, and we're going to find out what it's about.
Business students, engineers, and entrepreneurs are milling about here where terms like business opportunity and VC are bandied about. That's venture capitalist, not Viet Cong, by the way. Also, the elevator pitch, in which you pare down your concept to 30 seconds, short enough to pitch to a VC in an elevator ride, should you find yourself in this fortunate circumstance. Tonight, each semifinalist team is offered a mentor who will help them craft their business plan for the finals round.
It's a unique opportunity, really. You have all these seasoned executives helping people like us for free.
Tonight, Chris will meet Richard Caro, who runs a small company called Tangible Future. Richard specializes in helping budding entrepreneurs start successful businesses. A perfect match for Chris.
I don't really know yet anything about what they're doing, so I'm probably on a rapid learning curve.
Should I give you the elevator pitch here?
Sure.
All right. So basically, we're working on a new production method for biodiesel, specifically focused towards small-scale production for community-based school bus fleets, municipal bus fleets.
So it sounds like you're trying to combine ecological friendliness with making a profit. Is that right?
But can a company who's out to do good actually come out on top? Last year's first place winner was indeed a green energy team called Proton Power. They developed a solid acid fuel cell technology that provides power, heat, and electricity to long-haul freight trucks, so they don't have to keep their engines idling when they stop to sleep. This saves the average trucker $2,600 a year in fuel and significantly reduces pollution and noise. Jerry Engel runs the Haas B-Plan competition.
What this team did was they found a market that was ready to accept this technology today, deploy it today, have an impact today.
Winning first place is the ring that all the teams are reaching for.
$25,000 for first place, so this is not insignificant. But if you make it to semifinals, one of the other major opportunities is that you get to pitch your opportunity to a panel of experienced venture capitalists. This exposure sometimes leads to outcomes that are unforeseen.
Clean technology is up and coming. Venture money has been pouring into it in recent years.
Last year, $500 million was invested in clean energy companies, an all-time high.
The following week, Richard meets with Chris to see what he's been cooking up in his lab.
Wow, so you really do have a garage for your lab. That's perfect for a little startup. Let's have a look at your prototype.
Well, this is our high-pressure reactor that we bought online at a great discount. And the thermal mass on this thing is great. It's kind of scary, actually, when you drop it into a thing of water. It moans and whines. And
so what is it here that's your unique thing?
The idea is that it'll be a refrigerator-sized machine, or maybe a double-wide refrigerator. And vegetable oil, alcohol is what they need to start with. Then the machine calibrates the two and then spits out glycerin and biodiesel.
Chris's design does have some unique technical innovations, which will allow him to develop and patent a small appliance that can produce a moderate amount of biodiesel, perhaps 250,000 gallons a year, in a clean, efficient manner with low labor costs. However, while Richard is helping him figure out how to pitch the technology, he discovers that there's another, very compelling angle to Chris's plan.
But if I had to put my finger on what's different about your approach than everybody else's who might be playing in this space?
We're trying to cater to smaller and community-based production.
Chris thinks that communities could use his machine to make their own biodiesel on-site for a particular fleet of cars or trucks. For example, a school district could make biodiesel for their own buses, or a farming co-op could use their agricultural waste to run their tractors. Making biodiesel on site would save the huge cost of transportation and the middlemen.
Hey, Bill. It's Chris. Pretty good. We were just coming over. Is that okay? All right. We'll probably be there in 15 minutes.
Chris and Richard decide to focus on the marketing angle in their pitch to the VC judges.
We're going to Bill's house.
So Chris is taking Richard to visit Bill Michael, a local home brewer who is making biodiesel for his personal use.
Bill is very professional and very clean, and he's got a very nice setup.
This is a 20-gallon unit, and we're about meeting the family need. So these containers here contain oil from a restaurant. They've cooked their French fries, put it out in the dumpster, and...
The problem is, Bill's home brewing process is extremely labor-intensive and inefficient.
I mean, my greatest dream is that cities will really get into this.
Sure.
For example, the city I live in, you know, there's probably, I don't know, 100, 200 restaurants in the city, mm-hmm. and they're producing all this muck that's mm-hmm. just getting, I don't know, turned into dog chow or something.
Right.
But they could take that and turn it into fuel for the city vehicles and save some money.
It's a matter of converting that kind of enthusiasm into a real business.
While Chris doesn't see home brewing as the solution to the greenhouse crisis, he does see this cadre of environmental idealists as the foundation of a customer base for Homeland Fuels.
It's like you've got maybe 50 biodiesel plants in the United States that are making 98% of the fuel. And then you've got thousands and thousands of home brewers. And the home brewers are sitting around saying, why can't I buy this at the pump? And there has to be a bridge between huge centralized plant in Nebraska and a home brewer in Berkeley. And that's what we're enabling.
And so we have to figure out a way that we're going to have a profitable business as well, right?
That's... Save the earth and make a profit, sure.
One potential market for Chris's appliance could be biodiesel stations, where people like Bill could buy his fuel. Today, there are a few scattered stations around the country that are doing it as a political passion, but they have to buy from the big manufacturers who truck in the fuel. Their price is steep and their profit margins are minuscule. What if they could make their own fuel on site? Chris went to visit Sarah Hope at Biofuel Oasis, one small station up the road in Berkeley, to see if they might be a customer.
All right, let's go over there, see what she has to say.
I'm getting yourself pumped?
Yeah. Great. Which side should I take it from? It's pretty sweet. We can pull right in, and we just pump it right directly into our tank. So here goes. It's going to make kind of a loud noise. Our dream is to have a map right there that has biodiesel spots along the 5, along the 101, and big corridors where you could get biodiesel. Unfortunately, there's not much to put on the map right now.
You got 18 gallons, and the total is 6406. We take cash and checks. Thank you very much.
I kind of want to sit down and talk to you about the potential advantages of having a biodiesel plant here as opposed to having it trucked in.
You know, at $3.50 a gallon, which we're doing right now, it's like very little profit. Yeah, it's a community service project right now.
And that's where the local production comes in, is We've come up with a product to make biodiesel on a continuous basis, and it can use a variety of feedstocks. So you could put waste vegetable oil into it, you could put animal fats into it.
So what's the cost per gallon for production?
It's probably going to be about 35 cents above the cost of the feedstock.
Then you get a put in your other operating expenses and your profit margin.
Is this something that sounds of interest to you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you come along with something that can give us a better profit margin, that makes a difference in us being able to be here next year.
Terrific. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's good. I think she was encouraged by it. As soon as it said we can increase your profit margin, that kind of caught her attention a little bit.
Chris and another team member, Henry O, meet Richard at his San Francisco office to work out their presentation for the final round of the competition.
Now, this slide worried me a bit because I started to drift off in this slide. It just was so reminiscent to me of, you know, when I was an undergraduate, people telling me why I should live in a commune. And but the thing that helped me really picture this was the Stanford example you've mentioned, where you take all that waste from the dining hall and convert it into fuel for these shuttles. And so you're just closing that loop in an incredibly cost-effective and environmentally friendly way.
The idea is that you have a community that can create its own energy supply from resources that have previously gone to waste. So the Brazilian example, they pay twice as much to transport the diesel fuel to the community as it costs for the diesel fuel itself.
Right? And I believe you have some interesting news on Brazil, don't you?
The Brazilian government, they've said that they had funds available for a prototype.
We have interest. I mean, this is a market waiting for a product.
A business plan competition implies venture capitalists financing it. And so to do that, you need to be helping them understand how if they invest X million dollars, they will make 10X million dollars. And so if the message is, we have a business which will be successful because it enables the manufacturer of diesel that will cost less than diesel is today by a lot, and by the way, will solve a lot of the nation's energy dependence problems, and as we migrate out into other places, will help solve world poverty. You know, that's like, oh, okay, I sort of get how that would work.
The big day arrives for the presentation. The hallways are filled with competitors, laptops on laps, working out final details. The bathroom door swings open, revealing a cluster of young men trying to get their ties knotted straight. Chris, Henry, and the rest of the Homeland Fuels team meet up with Richard.
Good afternoon, guys.
You've put on the tie and everything. It's pretty exciting, actually. I've got my checkbook ready.
The team looks over the list of judges.
They used to invest in one of my companies.
Did it do well?
Not great, actually, that one.
The group also sized up the other green energy teams.
Yeah. Vogeskov Energy, which we think is fuel cells.
Helios wind is probably wind or sun.
Advanced Diamond Energy, that's an interesting one.
The energy panel is over here, so if you want to...
Okay. Sounds good. All right, well, good afternoon. My name is Christopher Carstens, and I'm the founder and CEO of Homeland Fuels. What we've designed is a scalable biodiesel appliance, which
Richard's coaching and Chris's hard work have paid off as Chris gives a smooth and coherent presentation.
And finally, we are looking for an investment of $2 million. So I'd be happy to take any questions you might have.
Chris, could you explain a little bit about the technology hurdles that you're going to have to overcome?
The vision is clearly great. So how long?
Thank you. Fascinating. Very I'm very enthusiastic right. about it, in spite of my question. All right, thank you.
Why don't I give you, try to see your card? Which would be fine if I could. Yeah. I'm realizing I don't know where my wallet is. Sorry. Why don't you give me a card? Yeah. I know we're in a rush. Thanks a lot.
Did you walk out with the check?
Just the business card.
Make sure you follow up with them.
Okay.
Because they like to invest in early stage, high risk type things just like this.
Okay. All right. I will.
Well, it's been amazing, you know. They've worked really hard. They've gone from a really unclear concept that had this obvious nugget of interest in it, and they've crafted a compelling story. So whether he wins or not is almost secondary at that point, in that he's got a very exciting opportunity to go create something possibly world-changing, which is what you really look for.
Homeland Fuels thought they had a winning presentation. But so did the other green energy groups.
I think the judges were very interested.
We had a lot of smiling faces.
And what did the judges think?
very smart people, very energetic. I mean, that's what has made the startup world go around from day one.
These potentially hold the ability to reconcile business objectives with green objectives, which I think is exactly the right way to go. And my kind of firm is their target.
We're ready to ship off.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Nice to see all you other guys.
All right, let's go, guys.
Okay.
Let's roll.
All right.
An exciting race, but Homeland Fuels did not win. Helios, a team working on solar panels, was one of seven teams to win this round and head into the competition finals. And out of the original 66 teams, Helios ended up winning both third place and a special technology award.
Today is really the moment when green energy is becoming a viable, competitive business opportunity. And the business plan competition has been an excellent forum for green energy companies to make their business case. It's being made, and it's being made well.
Chris is not giving up. The competition has given him a strong business plan, which he is using to look for funding to turn his prototype into a saleable appliance. With a little luck and a lot of persistence, you may be seeing Homeland Fuels biodiesel at your local filling station someday. For Living on Earth, this is Claire Schoen in Berkeley, California.
Next week on Living on Earth, a decades-old ban on offshore drilling has kept most of the U.S. coastline free of oil and gas rigs. But to soften the energy crunch, there's now a push in Congress for more deep-sea exploration.
I know that offshore is almost a sacred issue to some. But the American people are going to find out what a shortage of natural gas is going to do to them.
Offshore drilling and the environment next time on Living on Earth.